God is good all the time. Amen. The Word of God says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This time I'd like to go to God in prayer. Miss Gemma, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Always be prepared to give an answer. We're going to title the sermon this morning, thinking about this yesterday, As the World Turns. As the world turns. A lot of you are thinking, the preacher is going to preach on a soap opera today at church. Some of you don't even know what As the World Turns is. But it was a soap opera for many years. We was looking it up in the car this morning. What was it, Kevin? 52 years. Ended in 2010. Y'all go Google that or something. But it was something like that. General Hospital. Any of y'all remember General Hospital? Sheila was talking about Young and the Restless. That was her show to have. I didn't watch those, I just want to tell you. But my mama did. And Mom, that was a big thing during her day. And her and I had a lot of discussions. A lot of times when her soaps were on, the Reds were on. And guess what I wanted to watch? The Cincinnati Reds more than those soaps. But As the World Turns, not only is it the name of a soap that used to be, also our world turns a lot, doesn't it? Our world is ever changing around about us. I think over this, the past few years, how the world as a whole has changed so dramatically. How that we're able to talk to each other and communicate with each other is just as quick as that. How that we have the knowledge of all of these things right at our fingertips. And the world has changed. And because the world has changed, then we've all changed with it, haven't we? We have changed our lives. We was talking a lot about it this morning in our Sunday school class. We've lost a lot of our morals, our values, and the things that we should be living in our life. But your personal life has definitely changed over the years. I wrote down just a few things that has happened in my life over the years. I started out as my world turned. I grew up in Pike County. During the time that I was from kindergarten to high school, there's probably somebody in here had more schools than I did, but I was in six different schools from the time I was in kindergarten to the time that I was in high school. The day after I graduated from high school, we moved from the mountains up in Sayersville and up, of course, Fleming County. We moved from up there down to a little place in Pulaski County over at Society Hill or Science Hill that was over there. We moved right over there. Right after that, a month later, I went to Lindsey Wilson College, and a country boy somehow started dating a city girl, and she had to change the way I talk and my hair and all of those different types of things. But I had no idea when that first day of dating her and all the things, how my world would change over the next few years. A lot of things have happened in my life. A lot of things have happened in your life too, hasn't there? You've changed. You look back over your life and you say, how in the world did I get here? What in the world? I would have never thought as a young preacher starting back in 1987 that I would be at Bethlehem Church as your pastor. I had no idea. But guess what? God did. And you had no idea in your life as your world changed. You had no idea in your life what God's plan was for you. But I can tell you what, God has been good to us, hasn't He? And that plan that He has, even though you can't see it, God has a plan, and God had a plan that He wants to use each and every one of us. That scripture this morning talked a whole lot about you need to have an answer. Have an answer to who what God is. Who is God to you? Who is that person that you call that Holy Trinity? We talk a whole lot about here at the church. Who is that God for you? What has He done for you in your life. You need to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for your reason for that hope that you have. What is that reason? What do you have in your life as your world changes? What do you have in your life that can share with others around about you who God is? I truly believe one of the greatest things that a Christian can have is a good testimony. Amen? That's who God is to you. Realize that? That testimony that God puts in your heart, in your life, that tells who God is. Now, I don't know about you all, but my testimony has changed over the years. Hasn't yours? We evolve as Christians. As our world turns, we evolve into more of what God wants us to be, how God wants us to talk, how God wants us to walk, how God wants us to treat others, how God wants us to show others what true Christianity is all about. There's a lot of things in this world today that you would say is priceless, things that you would definitely not give away. May not mean a whole lot to a whole lot of other people, but to you it means everything in the world. And you would say, preachers, that's priceless. I'll never get rid of that. Well, I truly believe today that your testimony is priceless. And it's something that you should never get rid of. As the world turns, how does that happen? As your life evolves and you see how you change in your everyday life, what does your testimony look like? I'll look at this first. How has others' testimony changed your life? Over in John 1, beginning there with verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." I believe today, I truly love watching people testify. Amen? I don't know if I'm going to get an amen on this. I love hearing Brother Charles testify. Amen? Everybody gets that smile. And as a church, you know what we all do? I get to stand up here and look at you. You know what every one of us do when I say, would anyone like to offer a word of testimony? You know what we do? We all turn and look at Brother Charles. Because we know that Brother Charles is going to give us a testimony. And I'll be honest, and I can say this as a preacher, I've heard some better testimonies from time to time than preaching. Amen? Because that testimony that somebody shares comes from their hearts. And sharing with somebody about others. I love hearing that. When I was growing up as a young preacher's kid, I would go to revivals. And the preacher would preach, and then he would preach. And then guess what? He would preach. And we would get to the end of service, and my dad would always get up and ask those famous words that I still say today. Would anybody like to offer up a word of testimony? And I'm going to tell you what, folks. There was times in testimonial services that it went longer in the preaching. And it was some great testimonies that was shared. We as Christians need to testify about what? John came to testify about and hear about the light of Christ. As you hear those testimonies of others, I guarantee you, those good testimonies that you've heard from other people in your life, it wasn't about them, was it? It's about God. And it's about what God has done for them and how God has given them the grace and glory in their heart and their life. So basically the scripture is saying from someone else's testimony, we are able to see the light. Well, that carries great responsibility, doesn't it? That your testimony that you're listening to from someone else, you are able to see the light of Christ. My mama, Sheila and I were talking to Gemma before church this morning. And was talking about, Brooke knows how this is a little bit too, but preachers' wives, people sort of hold them at a different standard. When I was first starting to preach, one of my professors, Lindsay, said, "Now, if you want to be a good preacher, your wife needs to be able to play the piano. And I went and told Sheila, I said, "No, honey." They do offer lessons here at Lindsey Wilson. If you would like to go and play the piano, and maybe everything will be all right. And she went for a few times, and y'all can check this after church. Her hand's just not big enough. It's just too short. She didn't make it through all that. Well, my mama didn't play the piano, but I want to tell you what my mama could do. She could testify. And every time mama got up to testify, I would just sort of tighten up her in the seat. Because I was always afraid mama was going to go on a Paul Mills testimony service. That's what I was afraid of. But mom would always get up and talk about God. And talk about the light. And talk about how good God has been to her. And I love when you hear people testify and they thank God for that, right? When they thank God for being good to them. And they thank God for how much He loves them. So your testimony in your life as the world turns. It's great to listen to others testify about the goodness of Christ. Next, what about your own testimony? Over in John chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "The Jews who were there gathered around Him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did not tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in My Father's name, I testify about Me. But you do not believe because you are not My sheep.'" Today, you ready for this? Today, if you are saved, you have a testimony. Let's try it again. Today, if you are saved, you have a testimony. Amen? Amen. That testimony, some people say, "Well, Brother Paul, my testimony is not as powerful as somebody else's. I didn't have the great thing that happened to Saul to become Paul. That wasn't my conversion story." Well, folks, I want to tell you, remember the same God that saved Saul is the same God that saved you. Got that part? The same God that saved Saul is the same God that saved you. Your testimony is priceless. Scriptures say that we do not testify by ourselves, but we talk about how good God has been to us. So when you testify, you don't get up and say, "Thank you, God, for my bank account. Thank you, God, for my car. Thank you, God, for my house." You get up and you say, "Thank you, God, for how good You've been to me. And thank you, God, how that You have took care of my family. You took care of my church." And you share those things in your life. And today, we could say that God has been good to us. When you look back over your testimony, how your heart was changed. I've told you all this before, but you know, being a preacher's kid, I think everybody believes when you're a preacher kid, you're already saved the day you were born. Because you got the preacher at the house. You know, you all move around together. You know, y'all move from house to house, and you're just saved. Now, you got to be perfect. You can make no, there's nothing wrong. That's how you get that, "Don't be like that preacher's kid." That's where you got to be perfect. But as a young boy, one of the things that I got to have is I got to have the preacher at my house, and the evangelist would come to my house. And he'd stay for a week at a time. And I remember many times listening to my dad and listening to the evangelist and knowing I needed to be saved, and knowing this and knowing that. And I went to church one night. And there's something about the night you were saved. It might not have been a very good sermon that was preached, but it's the best you ever heard, isn't it? Because somehow those words touched your heart. And somehow you knew that God was going to make a change in your life. And I'll never forget, the song leader and the piano player went up, had that closing song, and it was "Just As I Am." And on that first chord, I was down at the altar, and I was praying, and I was talking to God, and my dad was praying with me, and the evangelist was praying with me, and of course, my mama was praying with me. And all of a sudden, I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I'm not in this world by myself any longer. I don't have to face all of these things by myself. Because it's now not just me. It's what? It's me and God. It's me and God. You've got that testimony, don't you? You remember how God came into your heart and into your life. And aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad today that God saw fit? We can truly say today, His love is amazing, isn't it? His love is amazing to wash away the sins of our life. Today, you have a salvation story. Something that you need to, you might say, Brother Paul, I've never been a public speaker. I've never enjoyed getting up in front of people and talking. That's just not my thing. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Make sure you hear this. Your kids need to hear you testify. It may not be here at church, but they need to hear you testify around the kitchen table. They need to hear you talk about how God is in your heart and in your life. And talk about how God has been there for you all your life. I truly believe that there's a lot of good testimonies happen inside of a church. But I also believe there's a lot of good testimonies happen where? Outside of these walls. And your testimony comes in two ways. You know what those are? Your words and your actions. Your words and your actions. And you share that with others around about you. And you talk that about God. God's word is there for us as Christians to share with others. And lastly this morning, who needs to hear your salvation story? Who needs to hear your salvation story? Luke chapter 15, verse 3, it says, Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. So the good shepherd leaves the 99 to look for what? The one. Now to society, a lot of people say, well, 99 is a whole lot better than one. Why would you leave the 99 out in the wild where they can be destroyed and something else could happen to them? Why would you want to go look for the one? Well, if we're honest, we've all been the one, haven't we? We've all been the one that God saw fit to leave everybody behind for just a little while. And God saw fit to come and talk to you and share with you. Not only that, God gives you the ability. I believe one of the things that we need to do more of, we need to let people know what we think about them while they're still here. We need to do that. We need to share with somebody how special they are to us and what they've done for us and what they mean to us. When I was preaching a lot over in Metcalf County, every once in a while I still get these funerals. And I know if Eric was with us this morning, he'd tell you how difficult it is. But I've had some funerals where they didn't have a preacher. Didn't go to church. Didn't nothing. Nobody knew anything about them. They called me from the funeral home and they'd asked me to come up. And just basically, you're just preaching a sermon. Because I had no idea who they are, anything about them. You're just sharing. And that sort of turns from you're preaching about and sharing about the wonderful life of that person. You're just hoping what you preach about touches somebody out there on that day. But one of the things that I always ask people, most of the time, praise be to God, most of the funerals I have, I know for sure that those folks have turned their heart and life over to Christ. But I would always ask the family before, if I met them at visitation or before the funeral, I'd always ask this question. Do you know if they've been saved? Do you know if they've been saved? Some of the most harsh words I've ever heard in my life is when somebody says these words. I don't know. I don't know. Folks, who do you know today? Who do you know today that if I asked you that question, you would say, I don't know? To me, that would be the person you need to go testify to, doesn't it? That would be the person that you need to go and share with them about the love of Christ. You may say, Brother Paul, I've done it. I've testified and I've shared with them, and they still have not turned their heart and life over to Christ. I truly believe that we have a part to play in that, and God does too. And God's not going to give up on them. One of the things that God never takes away from you is your free will, does He? It's still going to be up to them to decide to make that decision if their heart and life is right with God. So today, who do you need to talk to? Who do you need to call? Who do you need to talk about and share your testimony with? As the world turns. As the world turns. I know this week's going to be as the world turns for Sheila and I. Whenever we go to Nashville, it's go here, go there. Doug went with me one time, and we were flying up and down the aisles doing this test and doing this other test. I don't know how that's all going to turn out, but I know that God's going to be there with me. I don't know how your world's going to be this week. You know what it looks like. You know, you might say, that's an easy day. It's going to be a tough day. Praise be to God that God's with you on an easy day, and He's with you on a bad day and a tough day in your life. Your world is going to change. But praise be to God today. Have that testimony in your heart and your life with God. So today I want to testify about a couple of things. If you're not here, if you're here today and you have not turned your heart and life over to Christ, I want to invite you to do it. I want to give you, you heard sort of my testimony. I want to testify to you and say, this is your chance for you to turn your heart and life over to Christ. Also here at Bethlehem, one of the greatest things that we've done over the years, do you all realize, Nick will probably have to help me with this, but this year will be our fourth year, right? Fourth year. Do you realize everybody in the members we have here at this church have all became members in the past 4 years. 4 years. All the members we have here at this church. But you guess, you know what? We'd like some more. So if you don't have a home church today, if this is something that God has put a burden on your heart and in your life, and I guarantee you something, if you decide to become a new member here at the church, there's going to be a lot of happy Bethlehem people today that would love for you to become a part of our church family. So today, as the world turns, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we'll put it in the hands of God. We invite you this morning to come as we have our closing song, Charles.